pray you all bear with me today. I just struggled a lot with this text. I know what I want to tell you. I know what I want to say. I just couldn't get it on paper. And so I hope it comes out. I hope the Lord gives me the word for you, for your heart today. Title of this message, Abram, Us, and Christ. That's what we're going to see in our text. This is Abram. And we're going to see us in this. But this picture is Christ. That's what he told those that rode to Emmaus. He said, Moses wrote of me. This is a picture of him. Abram's a picture of Christ in this. That covenant of mercy that took place before time began. A covenant of grace for his people. I hope we can see that. But this also applies to me and you. This applies to the Lord's sheep. Applies to Abram, doesn't it? This here's a picture of how God saves sinners. Yes, we're sinners. We were sinners when the Lord came to us and revealed himself to us. And that old man hasn't changed. That faith will be evident. The faith the Lord gives, it's going to manifest itself throughout our lives. There's a great article in the bulletin this morning about that. It's going to be seen. We won't kick at dogs near as much, and we won't be mean to our boss near as much. There'll be some evidences, but that old man's still with us. It doesn't go away. And Abram was a sinner. That's what he was. God called him out of idolatry, and his daddy was an idolater, and his whole family was an idolater, and they were practicing religion absolutely as hard as they could. They was going through the bodily exercise. What'd Paul say? That profits little, doesn't it? There's just so many exercises we do, we don't even know we do. We don't know we do them until we quit doing them. Hey, stop doing that. Why? I don't want to. Why? Why? Like little children, ain't we? You ever have a child ask you, why? Quit it. It's for your good. But Abram was a sinner, just like us. Let's read it here in verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God came to Abram and gave him a commandment. He gave him a covenant, is what it was. And he just informed Abram of it. And you know what happens when the Lord speaks effectually to one of his children? You know what happens? Look at the next verse. What's verse 4 say? So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Did our master say this? Did he fulfill all scripture? Was the word of God in his mouth because he was God as he walked this earth? He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. They follow him. They obey God. Nicodemus is the longest record we have in the scriptures of God dealing with somebody. People say, well, the Lord's been dealing with so-and-so for 55 years. I don't know about that. You might be around the gospel in proximity, but if God speaks to you, if you truly hear his gospel, you either bow or you grit your teeth and fight him. It's one or the other. The Lord dealt with Nicodemus. Nicodemus come telling everything he knew. God corrects him. You've got to be born again, Nicodemus. He preached Christ to him. And then the next thing you know, Nicodemus, they said, well, what does man say? Let's kill him. Next thing, let's hear him out. Hold on now. About a year later. And then whenever our Lord had willfully laid down his life, Nicodemus walked right past him with 100 pounds of aloe and myrrh. That don't fit in a tiny watch pocket. He probably had a cart he was pulling to go anoint our Lord. Bet they mocked him the whole way. What you doing? I don't care what you say. I'm going to anoint my Lord's body. I'm going to honor him, a person. I'm going to bow to him, a person. But Abram knew the Lord. The Lord manifest himself to him. He spoke to him. The Lord of glory. It's only mentioned three times in the scriptures. Once in Psalms, once here, and we'll see hopefully here in a minute in Acts 7. The Lord of glory, the triune God, manifest in Christ our Lord, spoke to Abram. And he said, here's what I am going to do. Not what you need to do, not what you pretty well please do. I heard a lady say she thinks she's getting called in the ministry to preach, and she said, you know, the Lord's asking me to do this, just like he asked Abram. Did he ask Abram anything? No. He said, this is what I'm going to do. And Abram knew he was God, and he bowed to him. That's what he did. We need a little background on this, though. We're going to be looking at Abraham. The Lord's going to rename him, give him a new name. We're going to be looking at Abraham for quite a while. And all throughout Scripture, he's referenced. His name's been made great, hasn't it? Everybody's heard of Abraham. The Lord didn't lie, did he? He doesn't lie. We're going to be looking at him for a while, so we need some background on what happened. Look here in chapter 11. We'll look in verse 31. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into a land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now what this is a record of, the Lord's telling us what happened. That's about 6 years of what just took place. He's telling us what happened. It's sitting chronologically, and then he goes back and explains how this got started. What's that sound like to you? Terah, the dad, took Abram, his son, and his family, and they were going to Canaan. What a lovely dad. Isn't that just wonderful? You ever heard somebody say, well, they learned the gospel through me. I brought the gospel to them. I wrote something. I said something. I set them down and I with the Bible, and boy, they heard something. They heard me. They didn't hear nothing if they heard you. I played that game, and the Lord showed me brutally it was of him. If the Lord's going to speak to somebody, he's going to do the talking. That might be through an earthen vessel. It might be through some means. But here the dad was taking his son and his family. That's what's recorded, isn't it? And we'll see how that's just going to get somebody right in their crawl down the road 2,000 years later. 6,000 years later now. However long the Lord decides to do it. But Terah took his sons. And I thought, how could that be? Could you imagine the Lord speaking to Abram? They're going to go to Canaan. And they didn't head straight west to go to Canaan. They'd go across a big old desert in southern Iraq. I've been there. It's bad. You don't want to walk across it. So they went north. We'll go up to Turkey and we'll skirt around through the mountains and come back down. And they got up to Haran because the father named that city that. He said, well, I went far enough. We'll just worship God here. That's what we'll do. Well, why was he even with them? God spoke to Abram. You ever met a man that God's got a hold of? You can't buy him, and you can't. That's like that last present we had. Everybody hated him because you couldn't buy him, and everybody loved him because you couldn't buy him. One of the same reason, wasn't it? God spoke to Abram. The Lord gave him something to do, and he was going to do it. And they said, Abram, why are you leaving everything? You got a good business here. I don't care about that business. You can keep it. You got a nice house built. You and Sarah's got a pretty place. Sell it, burn it. I don't care. I'm leaving. God spoke to me. We're going. Pack your stuff up. What about this? What about your friends and family? I don't care. I'm leaving. Well, I'm your dad. You're going to leave me? God told me to. He said, get out of your house. I'm leaving. Something's got a hold of him. Lord must be moving on this person. I'm going to be wherever he is. That's what the daddy said. I'm going to go with you, Abram. Let's pack up and go with him. There's a movement starting. You know, religion can just accept any religion. They might disagree on some things, on the size of hats you wear, or how many times you do something, or what the color of the gold thing you swing with the incense is in it. But they can all get along. They really can. I've had people try to get along with me until they hear what I believe, the God I believe, and then they can't stand it. But Terah was packing along. He said, you know what? I'm going to help you, Abram. I'm the dad. I ought to be in charge. I'm the oldest. I must know better. You're going to do what I tell you. So let's go. That was about 6 years that took. Took Abraham about a year to pack up, get everything in order, and to walk much further to Haran than it was to Canaan. About 1,600 miles further. They had to go all the way up through there. Took them a long time to walk it. And then they were settled there about 5 years, and then his dad died. God killed him. Is that the order of things? Did the Lord speak to him in Haran, or did the Lord speak to him in Ur? Is this confusing to us? The Lord's going to use this to take away every stumbling stone we have and every safe haven we have in thinking of who our daddy was, who our family was. I'm so tickled out here, people don't know my family. There's some expectations that come with that. I don't want to remember. I don't want nobody knowing them. You may expect some things out of me you ain't going to get. The Lord had that stumbling stone in Abram's life, and he took it from him. And he used that as a stumbling stone to those Jews. To turn over to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Stephen's about to preach here. They've heard of his miracles these high priests had. He was doing them. People were believing the gospel he was preaching. And they gathered him up. They arrested him. And they said, "Are these things so? We've heard all this stuff about you, Stephen. We heard what you're saying. Are you telling, is that true?" And he begins here in Acts 7, verse 2. And he said, "Men and brethren and fathers, you old folks, you young folks, everybody, you listen to me. Hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he went to Charan," that's Haran, "and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him." God removed him into this land where you now dwell. "And he gave him none inheritance in it." No. Not to set his foot on. He didn't just give him land. He didn't give him stuff. That's what they're worried about. "Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed," singular, "after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring him into bondage and entreat them evil for 400 years. Stephen tells those high priests, he said, "You know, you guys just stand on the Word of God and you don't have understanding. And you stand on Abraham. You love Abraham being your daddy, your great-great-granddaddy, more than you love Christ who's coming." And he tells them, "Everything you think is wrong. You don't know. You're so worried about lineages. And you're so worried about what Terah do. This is the order of things." You know why they got mad at the Lord? He come in and changed things up. "You're messing us up. Why are you doing this?" And Stephen stood on his hind legs and he said, "Everything you know is wrong. You need to look to Christ. You need to look to Christ. That's who you need to look to." God told Abram, "Get out of there." And Terah followed him and acted like it was his idea. But the Lord kept him with him. The Lord kept him with him for 5 years. They got up there to Haran. They stopped and they dwelled. Let's look back at our text here in Genesis 12. Abraham, who they loved. Let's turn to Joshua 24 first. Abraham, who they loved. These Pharisees, who they put all their stock in and their genealogies. He was an idolater. He was a sinful man, just like every sinner that Christ saves. And his daddy was too. Here in Joshua 24, look in verse 2. "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time." It's speaking of the Euphrates. Not the flood of Noah, but the Euphrates. "On the other side of flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. And they served other gods." Did Terah take Abraham? No, he didn't. It says in verse 3, "And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac." The Lord took this man. He chose him. He came to him. He spoke to him, manifested himself to him, this old idol worshiper. And he saved him. He gave him his covenant of grace. You know how hard that is? Where Paul said that whenever he was here. Take a 75-year-old man and tell him something. I'm going to change your whole way of thinking. I'm 41. You probably ain't going to change my way of thinking. Proof set in my ways. God can't he? He can. I want to ask a couple questions with this. Why did Abram wait 5 years before he just resisted his dad? And why didn't he just leave him? Why did he stick with his daddy and do what daddy said? Why did Abram wait till his dad was dead before he went? You know what I come up with? He was a sinner, just like me. Our great father Abraham was just a sinner. He was saved by grace, but he was only a sinner. He was the Lord's. A new heart was in him. A new man was in him. But he was housed in this body of death. He still was. He was still subject to the woes of this world. Paul gave us wonderful advice. He says, whenever you get married, children, leave your homes. Depart from your mother and father. It's wise counsel, isn't it? Well, Abram left and his dad stuck with him. Should have run him off. Why didn't he? He couldn't. And then that what Paul told us too in Romans 7. He said, everything I wish I could do, I don't do. I do the opposite. And everything I don't want to do, that seems like that's all I do. And it makes me miserable. And it's like there's a law about it. Inside of my body is a war going on. There's an old man and a new man fighting. And I'm so thankful Paul wrote that. That's how I feel every day. I don't have this lottery religion people talk of where they're just health and wealth and everything's great all the time. I don't. My life ain't that way. Brother Don, you say, I spend more time in the valleys than I do the mountaintops. And I said, well, sure don't seem like it to me. He must just be making a point. You know, I spend more time in the valleys than I do mountaintops. I do. I spend more time looking at my error and my wrongdoing than I do anything good I've ever done. Lord's allowed me to do. He's used me for. I don't remember those things. Why didn't God just condemn Abram for disobeying? Lord said, I'm going to take you to Canaan. He took him. That's what happened. He took him 4,600 miles north. Took him way up there and let him hang out with his father for a while and keep his old traditions and his old grave clothes alive. Why didn't God just kill him right then for disobeying? Why don't the Lord just condemn us? Why doesn't He just condemn me right now where I stand? Because He showed mercy. And then you know what happened? He showed mercy. And as we go through the story of Abraham, you know what happened next? God showed mercy. You know what's going to happen again? God's going to show mercy to His child over and over again. That's the difference in sonship and daughtership. It's being a child of God. Those Pharisees come to our Lord and said, we ain't going to believe you unless you show us a sign. And He said, you ain't getting no sign but the sign of Jonah. Beat it. Thomas said, I need a sign. I ain't going to believe unless I touch your side. He said, come here, Thomas. Put your hand right here. Come here. You want to see my hands? Touch my side. That's all right. What's the difference? Isn't that the same thing? Being a child of God's a difference, isn't it? Abraham was a child of God. You who are His, Lord's going to be merciful and merciful and merciful and long-suffering to His people over and over again in spite of ourselves, regardless of me. And that doesn't make me go out and live like a heathen. It makes me want to serve Him and honor Him. Isn't that new? That's love. That's what love is. Love honors. Love covers all things. Love believes all things. Hopes for all things. That's what makes me want to do. That gives me hope. Abraham, over and over again, he just disobeyed God and he didn't do what was right. And God showed mercy. That gives me hope. It gives me hope. As worthless as I am, as miserable as I am, as faltering and prone to wonder, the Lord will show mercy to me. He delights to show mercy. God doesn't deal with His people according to our perfection, and He doesn't deal with His people according to our obedience. Aren't you thankful? If you've got an ounce of like, well, I did pretty good, Lord help you. Pride comes before a fall, doesn't it? And it's going to hurt you high up. In His covenant of grace, God dealt with Abram according to Christ. He dealt with him according to Christ. Abram disobeyed, and he went the wrong way. Jonah disobeyed. He heard the word of the Lord and went another way. I disobeyed. I knew the Lord, and I ran. I could do it by myself. Maybe some of you have done that. We see this. But what does God say about it? It's recorded here for us to know. And I'm thankful. For me, personally, I'm thankful this was recorded. that he went with his father away. Gives me a blessing. What does God say about it? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Oh, don't that get you? He obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What horrible sin is recorded of Abraham? Nothing. Oh, what a good servant, a profitable servant the Lord has. Look how strong his faith is. Oh, he's brilliant. Magnificent. Look at him. Is that merciful? Is that compassion? When the Lord will look on me and see his son and he says, well done. Oh, every time I was sick, you came to me, comforted me. Every time I was hungry, you fed me. Every time I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was in prison, you visited me. I said, Lord, when did I do that? If you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. The Lord's one with his people, isn't he? I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful he's removed my sin and my disobedience and my arrogance and everything else as far as the east is from the west. It's blotted out. It won't be remembered no more. Not for his people. That's a blessing we'll have in eternity we haven't even entered into. There'll be no memory of this world. All the pain. Dental chairs. Won't happen. It'll be gone. Back in our text here in Genesis. The Lord promised some things to Abraham. He says in verse 12. I'm sorry, I keep saying verse. Genesis 12, chapter... Genesis 12, verse 1. He gave us the account of Terah taking his family, and it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram. With that information there at the end of chapter 11, the Holy Spirit uses Moses to tell us some information. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house into a land I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation. Did he do what he said he promised him? He went in this covenant with Abraham. Did he make a great nation? Millions. Billions at this point. In our day and age, hadn't it? Throughout time. Physically. Just the physical offspring of this man that had no children. Multitudes. Physically. Spiritually, is there any like him? Is there any disobedient that was worshiping a false god, thought they were doing wonderful, and God came to them and spoke to them, saved them in his grace and mercy? We have that love. We have our father Abraham, don't we? Because we're saved just like Abraham was. We have the same faith Abraham was, the faith of Christ, his faith. And he says, I'll bless you. And he did. We got to read those Beatitudes. The blessings don't always look the same. That's what we think, does it? We have the same faith. We have the same Lord, same birth. But in those Beatitudes, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. That's us. That's a blessing for the Lord to give us those spirits. He said, leave your family, Abraham. I'm going to make you your name great. What was this great name of Abraham? Everybody knows him. Muslims know him. Don't they? Billions of them, too. Oh, we know Abraham. Yeah, he's our father. That's Ishmael's dad. We know him. Is that the great name the Lord was talking about? You just be famous or infamous, depending on which side of the fence you're on? No, it's not. Look here at James chapter 2. James 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What a great name. Do you want a great name here on this earth? We ought to not bring reproach on the gospel. We ought to have nothing that men could condemn me for that they could use against the gospel. We ought to walk uprightly and be peaceable with all men. We ought to. I have a debt of gratitude and love. That's what we ought to do. But is my concern making a name for myself on this earth? Leaving a legacy? Or is my concern being called the friend of God? Can you imagine that? This one that I know what I am. I know who I've sinned against. And imputed to him. He gives the faith that's imputed to him the righteousness. It's counted. It's already there. Righteousness. And he says, that's my friend. That's my brother. My child. My family. That's what it's saying. What a thought, isn't it? And back in our text in verse 3. Genesis 12, verse 3. I got it that time. He says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. The Lord takes note. This is his child. He gives that promise. When he tells his child what he will do, he says, I'm going to save you, and I'm going to keep you forever, and I'm going to protect you. We forget about that so often, don't we? Lord gave us, he gives us means. He gave us seatbelts. Wear one. I'm not some fatalistic crazy man that's going to not wear seatbelts. Lord gave them. But he protects his children. He watches his children. He hears. And he takes note of who blesses and who curses his children. Doesn't he? What did he say to Saul of Tarsus? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting my people? It was took note of, wasn't it? It was remembered. This covenant with Abraham is the same covenant. Here's what I'm going to do, Abram. I'm going to keep you. And I'm going to keep track of you and protect you and guide you. And I'm going to do everything for you. You're mine. You're mine. Mine anointed. My purchased possession. You're mine. That same covenant with Abram. All the blessings that come with it. That's the same covenant for you and me. If the Lord comes to us and he speaks to us and gives us a new heart, there's nothing different. There's nothing different. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I'm going to keep you forever. And I ain't going to lose one. What a thought that is. You know, all true sinners, not kind of sinners, not people, it's kind of bad. Those are just absolutely miserable in their sin. They can't stand to wake up and look in the mirror some days because they know what they are. That's who his covenant's for. Come to him. Worship him. Bow him. Praise him for who he is. You can take a sheep and put it in a paddock, and that thing could run circles around that. I mean, hysterically going, I'm not a sheep. I don't know if I'm a sheep. That shepherd be mean to whip it? No, he'd just laugh at it and comfort it, wouldn't he? Go over and pet that sheep. Feed it. That's what it is. Feed it. That's what our brother read this morning. Those men were afraid, and the Lord showed him his hands and his feet. Well, I wish every time I was afraid, I wouldn't be looking at me and looking at this world around me and looking at my daddy who's tagging along with me and looking at my family and everything else, and I'd look to his hands and feet. You ain't going to find assurance in this world. You ain't going to find assurance in yourself. You're going to find assurance in the one who is our assurance. He said, I'll bless you. I'll keep you. And I'm going to watch after you and protect you. It's because of that covenant of mercy. How could this be? How could God be just and a justifier? How could he remain holy and let this horrible idol worshiper be one of his children? Must be through Christ our propitiation, our bloody mercy seat. Think of that mercy seat they go in and sprinkle blood on. Think how many times they sprinkled. They didn't have pressure washers back then and SOS pads. That thing was covered in blood, wasn't it? Wasn't pretty. He came in this world without form or comeliness for his people. Let's look at this text as our Lord in it. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, the Lord spoke to his son. The father spoke to the son and said, get thee out of thy country. You're in heavenly places right now. You must descend. And from thy kindred and from thy father's house, you're going to have to go away from me, son. We'll speak. I'll hear you always, but you ain't going to be in my presence. You'll have to go down there into a land I'll show you. You have to come to this earth. And I will make of thee a great nation. Where's his kingdom? His people? His body? His church, His members. Is it magnificent? Is it great? It's just like Him. The Lord said He's made His people holy. If somebody wants to get holier than that, I don't know what to tell them. I don't know what to do for them. You know something better than Christ? I don't. He's made us likened unto Him. He make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. What do you pray in that high priestly prayer? Lord, glorify me with the glory that I had before the earth was when I was with you. And the Father said, I will. Blessings to honor and to respect. It's another meaning of this word bless here. And the Father openly from heaven said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear Him. Pay attention to Him. And make thy name great. Paul wrote to Philippians and said, He's given him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He's Lord. He's Lord. People don't have a problem with Jesus. Nobody does. They got a problem with Lord Jesus. The one that's worthy to bow to. And thou shalt be a blessing. Oh, is He? And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. That's the question. That's the most important question anyone could ever be asked. What think ye of Christ? What do you think of Him? Do you bless Him? Do you praise Him? Do you honor Him, bow to Him, throw all your care on Him? Trust Him. Trust Him. He's worthy of being trusted. Or do you curse Him? If you don't bow to Him and honor Him and worship Him, you're cursing Him. There ain't no fence to ride. It's one side or the other. There was a king one time. Spurgeon used to tell this story. And he had a servant that done something, and he was going to reward this servant, just a lowly hired hand. He was going to reward him, and he said, you ask anything of me, and I'll give it. And that servant said, I want a quarter of everything you have. You give me a quarter of your land, a quarter of your wealth, a quarter of your food, and how many daughters you got? I want a quarter. He wanted a quarter of everything. And one of his head servants says, I'm going to chop his head off. You want me to kill him now, or do you want me to do it outside? This guy's crazy. And he said, don't you touch him. He said, he took me at my word. He took me at my word. He believed me. Give him everything he asked for. Do we take God at His word? Do I take God at His promises? When He says, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And I got the nerve to walk this earth and say I'm tired. Say I'm wore out. Oh, if I could take Him at His word, I'd go to Him. And I'd have rest. What? He said so. He said so. What think ye of Christ? It says at the end of verse 3, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. If there's going to be any blessing, people say, oh, I have a blessed day. That makes me think. But they don't have knowledge. One of you all said it's different. They're against sonship. It's who? If I could see Christ today, give us our daily bread. People think that's got something to do with flour and salt and water. I don't need that. I need Christ, my daily bread. If we're going to be blessed, it's going to be in Him. And His family is a blessed family because He's ahead of it. Amen.